Thanks for listening to The Drive with Big Al and D-Mac, on demand, brought to you by SEL Mortgage, the leaders in Colorado of special circumstance lending, helping everyone, including people with unusual financing needs. Locally owned and operated, visit MySpecialMortgage.com. That's MySpecialMortgage.com.
It's football at 4 with Big Al and D-Mac on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
Made for the touchdown to Emmanuel Sanders. Flag is down. A 44-yard touchdown strike. Sanders.
I don't think I did anything too crazy besides point a finger and tell the guy I got you on that play. I don't see the penalty in that, you know, but, you know, I learned from it. And, you know, like I said, it cost my team. And I just got to keep chugging along and don't do it again.
Really? Hey, dude, do we have the... Of course he doesn't see the penalty in it. Do we have the full audio of him with the cop driving in the middle of the road? Do you got that, Big Sexy? Look at that. Is that Del Frisco's? Oh, my goodness.
Burgers. Best burgers in town. Oh,
they are the best burgers in town. Del Frisco's right there at Orchard and 25, just east. Oh, my goodness. It doesn't get better than that. Thank you, Del Frisco's, for Moral Victory Monday. It would be nice if it was, Victory Monday, but we'll take Moral.
It's been a month since we've had a Victory Monday.
Let's make it Moral Victory Monday.
We can have a Victory Friday.
Either way, we get some of that delicious food from Del Frisco's, and we are very grateful. Yeah, do you have Emmanuel talking about the driving in the middle of the road? I mean, again, let's revisit his comments here.
I don't think I did anything too crazy besides point a finger and tell a guy I got you on that play.
I mean, come on, Al. You can point your finger and tell a guy I got you, can't you?
I don't see the penalty in that, you know, but, you know.
What's wrong with that, Alfred?
It's all taunting.
No, come on, Al. There's nothing wrong with that.
I don't see the penalty in that. You know, I learned from it. And, you know, like I said, it cost my team. And I just got to keep chugging along and don't do it again.
Jeez, how could we ever expect Emmanuel's? This is shocking, especially. Oh, wait, it's not shocking because this is how he drives to work.
Man, I was driving in the middle lane.
Negative, just one.
And all of a sudden.
So you're driving in between the double yellows?
Yeah. You got sideswiped by her.
So why were you driving in between the double yellows?
Well, I played for the Broncos.
Oh, okay.
I had to be at work at 8. So I was driving to work. It was like people were driving slow. I had my emergency lights on. I was driving to work.
Oh, you didn't get to the best part, though. Where he goes, that's an emergency, right? That's what it's for.
What's the rule in driving in between the double yellows?
Well, I'm going to tell you right now, straight up, you're both going to get a ticket. You can't drive in the double yellows. You're both going to get a ticket for careless driving.
Well, so, what was it created for? Emergency, right?
Right, so.
Boom.
I don't think I did anything too crazy besides point a finger and tell a guy I got you on that play. I don't see the penalty in that.
Right. Same guy. It's not why they lost, but it was part of the reason why they lost. And it's terrible leadership. It's incredibly selfish. I always go back to one of Brandon Stokely's greatest moments.
Oh, saving
Brandon
the penalty. Marshall.
Yep. Brandon Marshall had in his head, after scoring a touchdown, he was going to break out a black glove and a white glove.
This is Brandon Marshall, the receiver.
And show unity. And Brandon Stokely, recognizing the situation,
ran over to him.
Grabbed him. It's just like, hey, I'm hotter than red pepper. Don't do that.
Like, come on, man. Don't do it.
No. Hey, oh, slow down.
We don't need that right now.
Don't need that right now. I'm in the Hall of Fame. And that is a great leader. Brandon Stokely is the same guy who had the wherewithal to catch a touchdown pass and run along the goal line.
Laterally for a smooth 4 or 5 seconds more.
Kill a little extra time, knowing what the situation is. That's why Brandon Stokely played in the league for 15 years.
Yeah. I mean, what would it look like if Von Miller got a sack and he looked back around at the tackle and say, I told you I was going to beat you.
Well, he'd get a penalty, as he did when he did the fake handshake thing
That's
and pulled
right.
his hand away.
That's right.
And this goes to, you know, what is the CJ McGuckins or whatever, the three pumps? You can't do the three pumps. You can do two. What is that guy's name?
You're talking about from
Peel. Yeah. Engelman Kriegelberry, right.
Do you have that sound? Engelman Kriegelberry?
Kringleberry. Two pumps, not three.
That was a two pump.
Yep. Two pumps, fine.
Who on this team do you say they actually get it and they're playing a brand of football that is really, really special?
Huh.
I got one name for you.
All right, I got a name.
Go ahead.
I got a name.
Go ahead.
Brandon McManus.
Okay.
Dude's literally perfect at his job so far.
I have another one.
All right.
Chris Harris Jr.
He's great. He's been great. Look at him.
He's like, man, I'm ready to go. I'm playing against Larry Fitzgerald.
Yep.
On Thursday, I get a chance to play again. I'm ready to go.
Every analytic will tell you he's one of the best guys at his job.
His mentality about it. The way that he comes to work, I can appreciate that, bruh.
I can appreciate him
coming to work every day with the idea that, hey, man, I came here to play. I came here to get it in. I came here to win. Every time I hear him talk, and you know, even a conversation that we had last weekend about, hey, Bradley Roby, hey, you just don't get to just go in the locker room without talking to reporters. Get over there and talk to those guys and tell and explain to them what's happened to you over this course of this last 60 minutes of this game. I love that about him.
Here's Chris Harris running into Wade Phillips. Oh my God.
That's it. That's the way it's supposed to sound.
Right there. That's after the game.
Yeah.
You just lost, and this is how you.
That guy changed the way that our defense looked to the rest of the NFL world.
Dude, you got
to
hear the Rams victory speech. Have you heard the Rams victory speech?
No, let's hear it.
Okay, here it is.
And then two former guys, all right?
Game balls.
That were Broncos coaches. Really, I got three. I got one from my man Aqib Talib in the back right
here. Oh, yeah!
Wade Phillips and Dad Bogardus. Give it up right there, man.
What's up, man?
Dad Bogardus also. Give it up for Dad.
Let's go, coach. Hey, let's go. What we got?
Hey, this is special. Not because we beat the Broncos, because of you guys.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And I appreciate it. I love you guys.
Yes, sir.
Family on three. One, two, three.
Family. That sounds like a guy who's been there before and done that. Been there before and done that.
That should break your heart.
He was loved. Listen.
That should break your heart.
No, you should see
heart.
The video. That audio I got, this Chris Harris audio from the video, actually the Seahawks Twitter account tweeted it out. And it's like Wade is absolutely loved around these parts here in Denver.
It's not just Chris.
It wasn't just
it's
Chris.
Derek
in the video.
Wolf,
it was Chris
it's
was
Von
in there.
Miller,
Vaughn was in there.
Other assistants.
You're absolutely right.
That's right. All I can do is what happens between the start of the game and the end of the game. Everything else, all that stuff don't matter. What did you do in between the 0 and the 60?
If you want to talk about one of the most colossal personnel mistakes. It's allowing Wade Phillips to leave.
And
as
Wade
a defensive coordinator.
And Wade got what he wanted, man. $2.5 million a year.
Should have been a no.
The Broncos were not going to do that for him.
Why? Why not?
I don't know.
It's
no
staggering.
Respect. No respect for Wade.
Yeah, it's not.
There was no respect for Wade Phillips here in Denver because he was never supposed to be the guy. It was always supposed to be Vance Joseph as a defensive coordinator.
So you're saying it was an ego thing?
I don't think they respected him like anybody can do that with this defense.
Right. Right. It was an ego thing.
But then you let the heart and soul of the defense leave last year and TJ Ward. That was the heart and soul of your defense. That really, and Justin Simmons is a fantastic young player. But that was the heart and soul of your defense. Him and Danny Trevathan did some things around here that were just special.
You keep Wade. You keep Talib. You don't offer Roby his fifth year option. Broncos are still a playoff team. No doubts about it. And VJ could be your head coach. I got no doubts about it. You blew it. Yeah, blew it. We'll talk to Troy Rank next.
Sandy Clef here to tell you about SCL Mortgage Special Circumstance Lending, locally owned and operated. And if you're self-employed or work on commission, this is the place for you. Bank statement loans are back. You don't need tax returns to do your loan. In some cases, the bank statement loans can be done with credit scores in the low 600s. MySpecialMortgage.com on the web, 303-790-2222, the phone number. SCL Mortgage, licensed by the Colorado Department of Regulatory Agencies, number 1200716.
It's a Reaction Monday, brought to you by First Bank with Big Al and D-Mac.
Absolutely. You know, we've lost four games in a row, and you know, everyone's fighting for their lives, and that's the way we have to play each game we play. And in this league, if you're not desperate for it, you don't win. You know, so that doesn't change anything, you know, from week to week for us. Every week we feel like we're desperate, you know, to win a football game. So that won't change.
There you go. Troy Rank. You asked it, Troy. That's your response. Troy Rank is brought to you by the Trinity Law Offices. Have you or someone you know been arrested for a DUI? Contact the Trinity Law Offices at 303-333-1816 for help. How'd you like that answer, Troy?
Well, I mean, it's realistic that he said it twice. Absolutely, he knows he's coaching for his job this week. I mean, you don't have to spell it out. If they lose to Arizona on the road, they have one road win under Vance. If you can't beat that Arizona team on the road, who are you going to beat, D-Mac? I mean, so if you lose that game,
nobody,
and then now you're 2-5, then what?
So he gets fired if they lose.
I believe he would. And there's a chance he wouldn't, and they would give him through the Houston game into the bye. But if you lose to Arizona, that means your back-to-back road losses are to the one-win Jets and to the one-win Cardinals. Then who are you then? I mean, at that point. I think it would be hard to survive if they lose to the Cardinals.
You know what was great was seeing the development of Jared Goff into the young quarterback that he is right now. Didn't have a great game against the Broncos. But remember now, in St. Louis, I believe it was, it was in Los Angeles. Jared Goff was the backup to Case Keenum. How does this work?
Well, he was a rookie, and they, Keenum knew the offense better. So, I mean, that was basically they were buying time until they felt Goff was ready. They weren't suggesting necessarily that Keenum was better than Goff. It's just that Goff needed some time to learn the offense, which Jeff Fisher's high school offense should have taken like 2-3 minutes tops.
I'm just surprised that when I see these relationships and how they mature over time, how we may have, I know that Paxton Lynch is still unemployed in the NFL, but it still stinks that the guy didn't get a real shot to be the starter for the Denver Broncos at any point in time. I know he looked bad at certain times, but you got to let those growing pains go. And then we never did with Paxton Lynch. It didn't work out in the end, but he should have been allowed to have that latitude, Troy.
Well, the problem is he didn't earn it, Alfred. And if you were in that locker room,
your first round draft pick, you don't have to earn it. Your first round draft pick, you don't have to earn it. Sorry, that's the way it works.
We're going back in the Wayback Machine here. We got to think about what's happening this week.
I think they're going to be drafting another quarterback this year, so we can have this.
Which means that guy should just play. Just play the guy you draft him.
Well, he will.
Play him.
For example, had we, Troy, I'll ask it in form of question, had the Broncos drafted Josh Rosen, for the sake of argument, at the number 5 pick, would he be playing this week?
You're saying they drafted him and still had Keenum?
Yeah.
That's a good question. I think Keenum might have a few more games in that scenario, but it would certainly be a ripe discussion. The guy, obviously, if they were going to go up in the draft to get a Darnold or whatever, he would be playing now, probably would have played from jump. But in Rosen's case, if he were here with Keenum, you probably would go into the bye week and then you would make the switch, would be my guess. And it'll be interesting to see how Rosen plays against them because Chubb had the breakout game that we kind of been expecting from him.
Mm-hmm.
If they use him more the right way as a pass rusher instead of his coverage and as a run stopper and use him as an outside linebacker, I think you're going to see why they drafted him. But, yeah, they're going to be looking for a quarterback at the end of the season. It's almost certain.
All right. Well, okay. Okay. The locker room today. Give me the vibe. Give me the temperament. What's going on there?
Yeah, I mean, guys are trying to remain upbeat, but it's tough. I mean, you lost 4 straight and you made history for first team in NFL history to allow back-to-back 200-yard rushers. And Sean Elway on radio called their interior defense soft today. I asked some players about that, and they're aware of it. They said it's not just, you know, they take blame for it first. But they said, you know, schematically there's some issues, too, in how they're defending the run this year that is causing problems. But the vibe is, it was a somber vibe because Ron Leary's out for the season, well-respected vet, gone for the year with a torn Achilles, so that's terrible news. I mean, just guys trying to find a way to, you know, give their best punch on Thursday night. The best thing they have going for them, D-Mac, is they have a game Thursday. They don't have to talk about these four straight losses for the next, you know, 5-6 days. Having a game Thursday in that way benefits them.
What's going on with Case Keenum? Why has he lost his confidence? Why isn't he giving his receivers chances?
I think, Alfred, a couple of things. He hurt his knee against Oakland, and it looks like it's affected his mechanics in the pocket at times. I'm not making excuses. I'm just giving you reasons that I see, because he was a great pocket passer last year. He's been inconsistent, and that's the trademark of a backup quarterback, and that's what he was until last year. But number one, I think the knee, it created some issues with his footwork. And the second thing, more to your point, Alfred, he just seems reluctant to let it go. He gets half pregnant on these deep balls of, I don't want to let it go. It could be an interception, and then holds the ball too long and then ends up with, you know, problems. So at some point, I mean, really they have nothing to lose except more games. He's got to just kind of, you know, let his hair down and let it go. And why I would suggest, Alfred, is just more related to turnovers than anything. He's got 8 picks already. That's more than he had all of last year.
Who cares? But, who cares? Give your guys a chance.
No, that's what I'm saying.
Why do we judge the quarterbacks on interceptions? Why not just judge them on wins and losses?
Well, here again, to your point, the Broncos, the worst thing going for them is they're bad and boring. They've got to try to score more. They've got to try to score more. And if that's Keenum, he turns it and you throw 3 touchdowns with 2 picks, you do. But trying to go 1 touchdown, no picks every game, they're averaging 20 points a game, guys.
Yeah, it's about points. NFL, it's points, yeah. Laughed.
They're just not – they don't look like the current NFL.
No.
They're trying to win with a model that doesn't work anymore. So I'm with you, Alfred. He just got to let it go, let it rip. You know, and if it doesn't work, it doesn't work. But this isn't working.
Yeah, 3-for-10 on third down, 2-for-4 in the red zone. The interceptions, who cares? I mean, whatever. Can you score points? And your defense, despite the putrid running numbers, your defense gave you a shot, and you weren't ready to answer the bell. And not only that, but you had offensive players that cost you points, Troy. And that shouldn't be lost on anybody either.
Yeah, I mean, Sanders, his taunting cost him 4 points and 2 holding calls, one by Garrett Bowles, which Vance Joseph said today he didn't think was – he thought the guy flopped. But, you know, obviously Garrett Bowles is a serial holder, so they're going to call him, unfortunately. But
yep.
And Max Garcia. So you had 2 guys get called for holding. That's 7 points right there that knocked him out of field goal range, and in Sanders' case, turned a touchdown into a fumble. So they just have no margin for error. One of the things I appreciate when you look back at Peyton Manning, he was their margin for error every game. A lot of stuff could go wrong, and this guy could camouflage it better than Revlon. He could camouflage any blemish. They have no margin for error, ever. So if they make stupid mistakes, they lose. I mean, it's pretty simple. They have to play almost a near flawless game right now to win, and they're not doing that.
Thank you, Troy. We appreciate it. We'll talk to you. Are you going to Arizona?
I will be there, yes.
So will we.
Dilly what? Dilly.
We're going to Arizona. Come on. Yo, we're going to shut down Scottsdale.
I'm not going to Arizona. That's crazy talk. Not if you're going to be there.
All right, Troy. Well, we'll see you in Arizona.
Forward to it, guys.
Okay, pal.
Hell yeah!
Sad news. Paul Allen, the owner of the Seattle Seahawks, one of the co-founders of Microsoft with Bill Gates, has passed away today at age 65. I know he was one of your heroes, Al, because you love that sort of stuff. And he was a significant sports owner. Your thoughts on Paul Allen passing away?
It was a very, very sad day for me because of the impact that he's had on all of our lives. I mean, if you have a computer and you have an application open at work, that's probably the guys from Microsoft who started that entire process to get that in front of you. Great owner, man. Great owner. Portland Trail Blazers and the Seattle Seahawks. Sad news. I mean, it just shocked me when I saw it come across my screen. I didn't know that he was dealing with non-Hodgkin's lymphoma.
Sorry to hear that.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens in the Seattle Seahawks ownership situation. That'll be, I don't know what their situation is there in Seattle. But sad day. Sad day for for those reasons, Paul Allen dies at age 65. We'll take a quick break. Let's break it down, Al. Let's go through it, your thoughts from yesterday, and go through the game that was a 23-20 loss of the Broncos to the Rams.
It's a Reaction Monday, brought to you by First Bank with Big Al and D-Mac.
Alright, I'm trying to have some fun here today. Let's have some fun and listen to Dick Stockton. Here's Dick Stockton. I don't think this will go down in his library as great NFL announcing moments.
Weather conditions says the undefeated Rams take on the Denver Nuggets coming right up.
Okay, thanks, Dick.
Oh! We're going to do it live!
Weather conditions says the undefeated Rams take on...
Pause? Thinking about
the
it.
Denver.
What? Who am I?
The
Where
Denver.
Am I?
The Denver Nuggets.
Coming right up. We'll do it live.
We're doing live.
Weather conditions says the undefeated Rams take
live.
On...
Where
I can guarantee
I?
You.
How old am I?
I can guarantee you.
Who's this man standing next to me?
That was live.
The Denver Nuggets coming right up.
Coming right
up. We'll do it live. And boom goes the dynamite.
There's so many great producers
so
that work in this city. You know, that thing is usually taped like, I would imagine, like 25 minutes before the actual kickoff, you know, to give everybody the chance to do their rundown. They probably got crunched for time and said, we're going to do it live.
Do this one live. You good, Dick?
Sure. Bah, what time is it?
We're doing it live.
What year is it? Denver! Who is it?
And then two.
Wait,
Weather conditions says the undefeated Rams take on.
You know who's the perfect pro? You know who's the perfect pro that could do this
I got
really
it.
Easily?
The Denver Nuggets.
What's that?
You know who the perfect pro is that could do those games so easily?
What's that?
Oh, man. You know, Drew.
Drew Goodman,
he man, he's so great.
He would
at
never
calling
make that
games.
Mistake.
He's so great at calling games.
You know
man.
Who
he
else
just...
would never make that mistake? Everybody else in the world wouldn't make that mistake.
But I wonder if he ever wants to leave, like doing baseball. I know, you'll start seeing him doing more college football games. I'm quite sure.
I don't know.
But he usually does about five. I just love listening to my guys.
Yeah,
I like my guys. What can I say?
You can like your guys.
Yeah. My man Moj is doing TV. I mean, golly, Moj, come on, man.
Leave some for the rest of us, Moj. All right, anyways.
Moj's got a lot of energy, man.
Oh, he's got a lot of chops.
This dude's probably, I want him to wear an Apple Watch while he's doing the game to see what kind of calorie count
he's
getting.
Oh, man, he is something. When are those abs playing again?
Tomorrow night here?
Nice. No, they're on the road somewhere.
No, New York.
Rangers,
what are Nuggets
Madison
opening up? Nuggets opening up on Wednesday in Phoenix.
Oh!
We'll be there. Yeah.
What?
You wanna go, we should go to that game.
We should.
Oh!
Boo!
It's LA Wednesday,
boo.
And then the Suns are here on Saturday.
Boo!
You can't just set us up like that, man.
Do you feel like Case Keenum in the first half? Boo! Hey, let's make big, big sexy feel like Chad Kelly. Yeah!
Yeah! Woo!
Take that
man.
Knee! Take that knee!
You know what's great is that our fans are knowledgeable. I mean, they knew as soon as he came into the game for the kneel down.
Oh, our fans are so knowledgeable. 12,000 of them decided to just watch the game on TV.
It was cold.
It was so cold.
When it's cold, it's tough.
When it's cold, it's tough, Al. I mean, there's no denying that
when it's cold, it's tough.
There's no denying it.
You don't want to go to the game when it's cold and your team's not doing well.
No, you don't want to be there.
When it's cold, it's tough.
It's cold.
When it's cold, it's tough. But just trust me on that one.
Okay. I gotcha. All right, here's where we're at. Y'all, Broncos lose Thursday. I believe Vance Joseph and Joe Woods will both be fired. Who takes over?
That would be dumb.
It would be dumb. I didn't say it wouldn't be.
Now, that would be the dumbest thing.
But it's all signs are leading towards that moment.
I mean, you're losing a head coach and a coordinator. Now, that would be dumb.
Yeah. So what? They'll throw in some sort of position coach to be the head coach in a... if it were to happen with like four games to go, maybe it would be Gary Kubiak, but this is just too much.
It's starting to look like that win against the Seattle Seahawks was a good win. Because the Seahawks have really started to turn it around.
It is. But they beat Oakland, dude.
I know, but terrible. I mean, they gave the Rams all that they could handle.
Yeah, we did too.
Not really.
Yes, we did.
They nailed on the ball at the end of the game. Game was over.
Game was over.
Yeah, we had to try for an onside kick to have a real chance. Game over.
By the way, not to just blow everybody away with math again. If you have a chance to kick a field goal and you're down by two scores, you should leave as much time on the clock as humanly possible. Because your choice is, can we stop them on defense or can we recover an onside kick? Al, what do you think is easier to do? Stop them on defense or recover an onside kick?
To me, the onside kick is almost automatic.
Right. So you've got a better shot.
I'm just...
Oh, automatic in terms of what? I thought you meant automatic in terms of you losing.
No.
No.
Much better chance to stop him on defense.
Right.
But, I mean, yesterday that game, it looked close on paper. Not really close. I mean, Case could have made it close if he just gives Heuermann a chance or go to somebody else. Just don't throw it out of bounds. Golly, on fourth down and three, you got to expect some live action, some live bullets coming at you. It's Wade Phillips you're playing against. You think he's going to let you sit there on fourth and three? You know he's coming on fourth and three. Did you know they were coming on fourth and three? Golly, man.
Of course they are.
Golly, man. You got fourth and three. Come on.
They may drop an unusual guy back. That's what Wade did against the Patriots. Von Miller resulted in that, interception, the AFC Championship game. Remember that?
Of course.
But they still brought pressure. They just dropped back an unusual guy. So they may have done something like that. Wade has done the same thing, basically, everywhere
he's
been.
He's not going to let you get comfortable in the down that matters. Fourth and three, you thought you were just going, I don't know what's going on.
I got you. No, this was on the offense, by the way. A lot of people want to paint it on the, it wasn't great, stopping the run. You did set an NFL record for futility in stopping the run. But that wasn't the game. Not even close. You stopped the Rams three out of five times in the red zone. Good job. You sacked Goff a bunch of times, five sacks.
The most of anybody all year.
Bradley Chubb tied a record for single-game sacks by a rookie. Vaughn was fantastic. They were afraid to throw the ball. Sean McVay on Pro Football Football Talk today admitted he almost blew the game for the Rams. Like, he was like, I screwed up. I did not do the best I could have done for our team. I put us in bad spots, and he did. See, he made mistakes and still got a win.
Because he's got a really talented duo that touched the football on every play.
But it didn't result in points for them.
But the two guys that touched the ball for them, the quarterback and running back, really, really special.
They are. He almost blew it. He did. If he didn't, you're right about that. If he didn't have two players like Goff and Gurley, they saved his bacon yesterday. He did not have a good game as a coach. But... you know you're a good team, Al, when you get wins that you don't probably deserve to get or you
ugly
play
win.
Poorly.
Ugly
yeah.
wins count like pretty
they
wins.
They sure do. They don't
They're
care.
They're just wins.
They're back on the plane in L.A. Then you got the Broncos players who are all hugging up on Wade Phillips after. You got Aqib Talib getting a game ball. He didn't play in the game.
But everybody knew what this game meant to those guys.
That's right.
Who was the third ball to?
One to Gurley, one to Aqib, to Wade Phillips.
Okay.
Anyways, we're
Who's
done
the MVP
that.
Of that team? I said it was...
It's Jared Goff, but
okay,
Gurley's unbelievable.
Goff going into that game, but...
Well, here's what happened, by the way. The Broncos did not load the box. Well, you know what? Let's take a break. I want you to talk about, because we talked about the adjustments they would make, I want you to talk about defensively why what happened, and what's your take on it, and especially why did Vaughn and Bradley Chubb have such a good game? Because that could really have an impact against the Cardinals, right? Theoretically. We'll get there next.
It's a Reaction Monday, brought to you by First Bank with Big Al and D-Mac.
All right, Alfred, I want you to break it down. We talked about the Broncos. We threw it out there. Should they just go to a 4-3, make it a more comfortable situation for Bradley Chubb and give Vaughn more flexibility? Well, it wasn't quite that, but it was definitely different. What'd you see?
What I saw is that Vaughn was dropping more and Bradley Chubb was rushing more, which is good, which means that you can switch it up. You can get things going. And even though you have a dynamic football player in Von Miller, the options are limitless when you consider the ideas of moving him around and letting him have that freedom of being a real athlete. And you want to feel like you can be everywhere when you the kind of athlete that Von is. As a former outside linebacker, defensive end, you want the freedom to be up. You want to be left. You want to be over the center. And those are the things that make you feel good and you feel good about the game plan. And what I saw yesterday was Von Miller was good because he wasn't, he wasn't tired, and the plays that he got, he worked them and he was in the run game. And, the hardest thing for an outside linebacker to do is get numbers, like tackles. It's a hard thing to do because most of the time you're just responsible for turning the ball back in. And when you see an outside linebacker with five tackles, that's a huge number for a guy whose responsibility is usually just to stay outside.
So did you like this as somewhat of a permanent or a more useful strategic option for them?
I do like it.
For the future?
I do like that portion of it. But then the Broncos use RPO principles with cross motion early in the game, and it cost them big. On one of the cross motions, where Woods just basically crossed the field, okay, on the Todd Gurley's big first run, Chris Harris was in the slot. He had Woods motions over to the left, and then you can clearly see when he's motioning over to the left, you can see Todd Davis running out of the formation, which immediately means that Chris Harris becomes a B-gap player as a corner in this defense. Terrible structure. Terrible structure because, first of all, Chris is best when he's covering people. And then to put him in the mix with 300-pounders and Todd Gurley, not a good mix. Not a good mix. Now, they ran it backside because the backside defensive end got cut off, and they had a huge run. So structurally, there's something wrong. You can't have that happen. Linebackers got to stay connected in the box. But I would imagine that the Broncos were afraid that if Todd Gurley motioned out to a single back situation, motion him out to wide receiver, then you would have Todd Davis trying to cover a guy like Todd Gurley, and that's a clear mismatch. So maybe they were trying to forecast the Rams going empty and using that great speed against our linebackers. It never happened. They just stayed dotted and just kept on pounding the ball. And then when we made tackles, they weren't sure tackles. They weren't tackle and done. They're tackle and he's dragging guys 2-3 yards. Those things you can clean up, but structurally, you can't have on cross motion, you can't have your middle linebacker out of the formation. Can't do it. Sorry.
A lot of people today are making a big deal about the rushing yards. Big deal to you or not such a big deal to you?
Huge deal.
Why?
Huge deal. Because you want to make a team one-dimensional. Okay? And you want to put them in situations where you can dictate and make them less effective.
But you would have to load the box and make you more susceptible to the pass.
No. You would have to make it look like we're loading the box.
Okay, explain that.
Well, I mean, it's a disguise. I mean, everything is, you get the quarterback to check to something that is basically a ghost formation, and then you move out of it. But Todd Gurley had a great day, but Jared Goff didn't.
Jared Goff didn't.
Jared Goff did not have a great day.
No, he did not.
And, and he was confused about what he was seeing.
Yep. Had a hard time pulling the trigger.
So let me ask you this.
Yeah.
Did we make them left-handed yesterday with that game plan?
I think so. I think we gave ourselves the absolute best shot to win that game.
I think so, too. I think we did make them left-handed because they're used to having big numbers throwing the football.
I think we made – that's a great way to put it. We made them left-handed. We just said we are not going to get beat by Jared Goff scarring us up. And we didn't. And nor did we get beat – by Todd Gurley running the ball. We didn't. They were 2 for 5 in the red zone.
But it's just Gurley, how it looks, man. When you play defense, man.
Why do you care how it looks?
Because it's
you kept the Rams to 20.
Pride. It's a pride thing.
Oh, my
it's
Lord.
It's a pride thing. You know,
I didn't know there were beauty pageant points here.
No, not beauty pageant, but, I mean, the one thing that you don't want to do is let somebody run the football against you. But
I'm just saying, here's what's going
to
happen.
But if we
would have
found a way to win that game, nobody would have cared about how many yards
Todd
Gurley would have ran for.
Everybody's going to pile on the coaches because of the yards.
Oh, no.
Even though they didn't result in points.
I told
points.
You last week the most important thing when you play defense is points allowed.
You're right. And that's something we agree on. And for everybody out there who's crying about giving the run-up, I actually agree with Vance Joseph today. They had to make a choice.
Points allowed, man. They allowed 23 points against the Rams and we should have had more than 20.
Hey man,
we should have had more than 20 points, man.
Final,
come on, man. I mean, you get the ball on the 15-yard on the 15-yard line being penalized, and you can't find a way to get it in the end zone.
It's still first down.
Come on, man. That was a tremendous effort, too, by the way, after the boneheaded play by Emmanuel Sanders. Terrific effort to press the line and make sure to get the ball over the goal line for the touchdown. Terrific effort. But we got to, you know, first and 16 – come on, man. Is that a first and 16 from the 16? I mean, first and 10 from the 16. Get a first down. Come on, Case, man. Can't keep doing this.
Nope, I agree. Hey, man, you are down 20-3 with 6 minutes to go in the third quarter. How many of you out there thought 20 was going to become 40 by the end of the game?
I didn't.
I did.
Not the way they were playing on defense.
Oh, I did. Because I thought what was bound to happen was the Broncos were going to turn the ball over. It was going to result in easy scores, and you couldn't stop the run. The Broncos defense only allowed 3 points from 6 minutes to go in the third quarter till the end of the game. That is great.
And
you gave your offense a shot.
And we're so bad on third downs. Man, it's like 3 and out or 4 and out, whatever it is. And I'm like, man, you just put the defense back on the field after they gave up a long drive. I'm like, you got to understand what complimentary football is. That means that we need to sustain a drive to at least give our guys a chance to catch their breath.
The Broncos at that point, when it was blowout city, getting no help from their offense. In fact, Keenum was intercepted the possession after they went 20-3. What happened? 3 and out. Way to go. A turnover doesn't result in points. What happens to Rams' next possession? Missed field goal. You're in it. Then the Broncos collect a field goal. Then the Rams have a long drive, but it only results in a field goal. Now, that was the difference in the game, unfortunately, and you could make the argument, hey, that'd be the time to get the ball back. It was tough. The Broncos got the ball with 3:15. They drove for kind of a meaningless touchdown. That's why I was advocating for them just to kick a field goal. And they could have kicked a field goal with about 2.5 minutes to go, giving them a slight shot. But they didn't because math is hard. And that's how the game wound down. So if you want to make the argument, hey, listen, D-Mac, they couldn't stop the run and that cost them the opportunity in the fourth quarter. All right. I mean, I guess I'll give you that. I mean, the Rams worked off 6 minutes of the clock, Al. You know, that's a big deal in the fourth quarter.
Our offense was never hot yesterday.
But, yeah, right, exactly.
Our offense was never hot yesterday.
Make it easy on yourself. Play
offense. I mean, we had a situation when we had a second down and 2. Holding on Bowles. Second down and, excuse me, that made it second down and I think it was second and 14.
What point?
When we went to third down and 30. And then we got holding
I got you. It's first and 10.
And scoring position. We went scoring position.
We're at the LA 35. We're in field goal position.
We're in field goal position.
Be a tough 152-yard field goal, but we're there. holding on Bulls. Okay? Now it's first and 20, out of field goal position.
But we get another
incomplete pass. Second and 20, holding on Garcia.
And that one on that play, Booker got the ball and all the yardage back, and we were only 3 yards short of first down.
Yep. He went to the 29 for 16 yards. No bueno.
Like, man.
Holding. Now we're back at their 45. And now it's second and 30. What do you want?
Second and 30, man.
So if you had done nothing, if you had done nothing but just take a knee and kicked a field goal with your kicker, who's 100% on the year, it's 13-6, and now you kick it off to them. You cost yourself at least 3 points there. You cost yourself 4 points with Emmanuel Sanders. You lost the game by three. You gave away, because of your own stupidity, 7 points that were sitting there for you. So it's not all on Sanders, but it's partly on him. It's not all on Bowles, but it's partly on him. And you're going to blame the coaches for that?
Oh, no.
Come on.
Come on, man. You got to give your tight end a chance. You can't just overthrow him. Like, I don't know what that is.
Mark Schlereth has some thoughts. Here he is. It's Stink.
It's your daily exclamation mark with Mark Schlereth. Brought to you by Shomp BMW.
There's a level of frustration. A level of frustration with the lack of execution, the mistakes that are being made. Obviously, with losing going into that game, three straight, now four straight games, there is incredible frustration from the players and the coaches. I believe that to be true. And, you know, it's not like they're not working, and it's not like they're, you know, they're not digging and grinding on trying to become better. I think one of the things that really stands out to me, I think there would have been personnel changes. I think there would have been significant personnel changes, Mike, in this game, but I don't think they have the backups that they feel like they can play. And that, again, goes to the last few draft classes when you haven't drafted well and you haven't built the depth that's required to get you through a season. So that's an issue. Garrett Bowles would not be playing left tackle if you had somebody right now that you felt like was an upgrade, somebody that came in and practiced well and proved to you that that guy could come in and play. So I think that's where we are right now. I think Bradley Roby probably would have had either a diminished role, a nickel role, or something of that nature based upon the way he played against the Jets had they had somebody healthy, had Pac-Man Jones been healthy enough with his hamstring coming in play. So I think there would have been changes. The biggest thing I can tell you is there's frustration over there. And that's a fair statement, and that's not trade secrets. You should be frustrated. And that's where they are right now. And we'll see if they can get together because Thursday night they're going to play in Arizona, so we'll have to watch them Thursday night when they get their cleats on the grass.
Mark Schlereth and Mike Evans tomorrow morning at 6.